Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. And don't forget about the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, merchandise, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Rob Ensley.
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Coming at us from Craig, Alaska. And we have the Caucasian crappy hammer right here, Joey Pyburn, out there doing it via kayak this week.
Dropping
on Lake
the
Stevens.
Hammer. Did you drop any hammers on any poor little innocent little crappie this week, Joe?
I did not. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You better get your rear end back out there and get back to work.
I'm going to. Trust me. If Brad
like
will
fun.
Have me. It was a blast, man.
He's actually starting the Lake Cassidy crappie busters, you know, crappie club. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those Hobie kayaks are sweet, dude. I was in the Compass, which has forward and reverse, but Brad has the Mirage. His is the Pro Angler 14 with the 360 drive. So
he's got a Sea Keeper in his too, doesn't he? Just to keep it stable.
That thing has everything. It has everything a big boat has, and maybe more than some big boats. But
super cool.
You're able to actually just paddle. You can be paddling forward, and then you got a little toggle in your hand. And you can go sideways and then backwards. And you're able to kind of hold in one place. Even in the wind, you can kind of hold into that wind and be vertically straight up and down on the fish. It was super cool. It's
a whole nother angling discipline. After talking to you, you know, and your experiences with it and all the time we spent, you know, on air with Brad at Kayak Fishing Washington, you know, it is. It's just a complete new different way of fishing.
Took me an hour to just kind of figure out because you're fishing in 15 feet of water, so the cone on your fish finder is super narrow.
You gotta figure
out kind of how, like, you almost have to be at a little bit of an angle to get your line so that you can see your jig down there, because it's total fishing, like video game fishing. You're watching your jig go up and down, and you'll drop on a blank screen. And you'll jig up and down, and then you pull it up about 3 feet, and then boom, there the fish come up off the bottom, and it's like the bottom comes alive. And you can watch them follow it. They just weren't, you know, on the bite. Brad ended up with one. I think one of the other guys got one, and we caught a few little perch. But I'm hooked.
Super cool.
I mean, I'm going to be a professional kayak fisherman.
We have warming lakes right now, you know, here on the west side. On the east side, man, those lakes are warm already. We're gonna start the 7 o'clock hour with Russ Baker, Limit Out Performance Marine, and he's actually fishing an event. He's fishing the Potholes Open, okay, which is actually run by the Potholes Bass Club. It's kind of like the Masters of Washington State bass angling. Pretty cool deal. And of course, last week was the Berkeley Big Bass
event. What are you saying, Nelly? It's all the old guys? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying it's a bragging rights deal. It's not a big purse deal. No, you're at Augusta. You're going to pull a largemouth out from under the weeds there.
There you go.
No, it's a pretty cool event.
Actually, the Berkeley Big Bass event went off last week, and the weather was horrible over there. Did you see any of the videos of the event over there last week? It was blowing like 30, 40 miles an hour the whole weekend over there. But biggest bass tournament in Washington State history, 188 boats participated. Taylor Webb and Micah Hart won the new Skeeter ZX150 bass boat last weekend, worth 36, 37 grand, something like that. Pretty cool event. What else is going on? There's a lot going on. I tell you what's...
Oh, yeah, man.
I won't say it's easy, but it's getting a lot easier this time of year. It's right in the Northwest Outdoor Report because it's opener after opener after opener after opener. Turkey season just opened here last week. Unbelievable weather in eastern Washington. I mean, we've had snow. I remember a couple of years ago, the turkey opener was blown out with like 30, 40 miles an hour winds and rain. This turkey opener is just perfect for the folks in eastern Washington. And I'm seeing a lot of success coming out of the northeast corner of the state. Of course, we've got our first halibut opener of the year coming up here this week, April 22nd, in the eastern Strait of Juan de Fuca. Earliest, do you remember ever having one? Maybe, what, 30 years ago, Nelly?
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a while. Yeah, it's right in there because I remember one year we had blackmouth until April 15th, and halibut opened up the next day later that week. So yeah, but you're right. It's right.
We haven't had an opener this early.
We have not had in a long time. Yes. But and you know that the thing of it is, it's a blank slate with regard to where these halibut are going to be, and you know, and where they're going to be found. So we'll have a little intel. We're actually Joey is going to bomb out of the show and run to CQ. Shane Palco and I are cutting the lines at the Port of Everett and running straight to CQ. And so we're gonna do a little bottom fish along with our salmon fish. And we're gonna salmon fish first.
You're gonna halibut
first
fish.
Light.
You're gonna get a jump on halibut season. Is that what you're saying?
No. But we're
getting a jump.
But
yeah.
we're gonna do the ling thing, right?
Oh,
but
there you go.
You have a chance to talk to some anglers that may have encountered while they were salmon fishing. Yeah. They could have possibly encountered a flat one. So we're going to get some intel that way, right? And the intel we got from CQ right now, Tony Flora is just putting the coon toot on these things, man. They put five to the boat yesterday. The biggest one was 16 pounds. So
and all of them are class of fish. Yeah. It seems like right now.
Exactly. So it's kind of, I'm kind of wondering because the middle of the week out there sounded like there's some doldrums a little bit, but the big news on the salmon front, Robbo, right now is
the seasons have just been set and we got Marky Wasson coming on, who always has his finger on the pulse of the salmon seasons and everything going on in that department here. He's coming on just after a couple breaks here, 6:25. We'll have Mark on to run through the whole salmon season program from the coast down all the way through the sound, some of the bright spots, some of the not so bright spots. And there's a few, I mean, the Chinook thing's going to be a little tough in the sound, but he's going to run through all that stuff for us at 6:25. You mentioned Russ Baker from Limit Out Marine jumping on at 7:00. He's fishing in the Potholes Bass Club Potholes Open. And these bass tournaments are taking off, man. Pretty cool to watch the growth in the bass industry here in Washington. And he's over there right now. He's going to be live, I think, from the lake, isn't he, Tom?
100%. Yeah, we're going to get a hold of him just ahead of blast off here. And awesome. And the deal over here, I mean, everybody in Western Washington, you know, is just waiting for the topwater thing to frickin' happen over here. It's happening over in Potholes. And so he's got a topwater bite program going over there. And that's the thing that fires me up about bass angling is watching them hit it. You know, anytime I can watch a fish bite, I don't care. I don't care if it's a hot tilapia in Costa Rica. I don't freaking care. If I can watch a fish bite, you know. But, you know, that's, but anyway.
Everybody loves 725.
True. Yes. 725. Speaking of halibut openers, Kevin John, our good friend from Holiday Sports up in Burlington, is going to jump on. He's done a ton of halibut fishing in the Eastern Strait. He's going to jump on, kind of run us through the drill there. Most everybody's anchoring nowadays. He's going to kind of run us through that drill, what to use for bait. Joe's going to give us a bait update. Is there any bait, Joe? Joe, do we have bait?
Not for you.
Joe, come in, Joe. Joe,
no bait for you.
Joe, come on, talk to me. So he's going to run through the bait drill at 7:25, Kevin John, Holiday Sports, and give us the drill on the halibut deal in the Eastern Strait of Juan de Fuca.
Man, I hope they're out there. I hope guys have a great opener and, you know, it'd be nice to see some fish this year. It was tough last year.
Yeah.
You know? So I this early opener, I think guys are going to have a great shot at catching some big old flatties.
I think so too. But it's, you know, with regard to halibut fishing, Kevin John is going to tell us this too. It is about having a bait on there that you have confidence in and it isn't going to get ripped off on the first little, you know, first little tiddler that comes along. And Kevin's got a couple dirty tricks, you know, up his sleeve to give you a dependable bait. But for me, if you think you're going to get consistently bit on halibut in the Straits of Juan de Fuca fishing nothing but plastics, I mean, I love my Berkeley Gulp big worms and big scampies, and I use them. Okay, I use the crap out of them. But day in, day out, you got to have some meat on there, Robbo.
Oh, absolutely. We got a bunch of texts coming in. here too, by the way. 710-710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. And you guys probably have word on this. Any word on Greg's custom rods in Lake Stevens? And then this gentleman also wants to know about catching a kokanee from the dock. But is Greg still up and running up there?
So that's a great question. I reached out to Greg because if I have something going on with a rod, Greg has been my go-to for decades, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I reached out and go, hey, man, you know, and they go, yeah, they got a complete online business. If you go to gregscustomrods.com, and then, you know, you can, they'll meet you, you know, close to the location, grab your sticks from your whatever, or you can ship them in, whatever. Go to gregscustomrods.com. They will definitely take care of you.
But is the store still open?
The store is not open and not going to open back up. No, no, no brick and no brick and mortar, just strictly online. And kokanee from the dock, my brother, if you catch a kokanee off the dock, you are indeed my hero. Okay. That's a tough one.
It's
because what you're doing is, especially in Lake Stevens, kokanee this time of year are feeding on Daphnia, which are, you know, obviously an aquatic invertebrate, very almost, you know, a little bigger than plankton, you know, so they're not going to be next to the docks. They're going to be hanging out in the thermocline out in the lake and in the mixing layers. And make no mistake, I mean, right now, if you talk about what's going on in these lakes, they're turning over right now. So the best kokanee bite is just ahead of us. And that's a cool thing about springtime is so many things are changing, right? I have the dubious distinction, my wonderful wife Kathy and I were the last people to get stuck on Snoqualmie Pass during a snow closure last Saturday. We were going over to my buddies Larry Stoffer and Clee Ellum and sat on the pass. Dude, last Saturday was winter. We were stuck on the pass watching people chain up, okay? And then we got over to Eastern Washington, and it was spring. And by the end of the weekend, it was summer. And the week we've had around here, dude, if you don't think the last couple of days around here were a taste of summer. And so I was so thankful to Rob Ensley that we got this early, beautiful, warm spring, only to find out that you've experienced great weather up there, too. I'm so disappointed that it quit snowing up there for you.
I see the opposite, actually. When I pulled your weather up this morning, I thought, it's got to be raining down there because it is spectacular up here right now. I was out on the boat yesterday. I was out near the ocean yesterday, and the ocean was just like, whew, beautiful. Yeah, so looking good up here at least. I don't want to jinx us, but looking good up here.
No, no doubt about it. So text us up, 710-710, powered by legendary Yamaha dependability. We got a bunch of texts to get through here. If you've got a question with regard to North of Falcon, so we do have some text questions. We need to get into it too. We'll get that too. So give us 90 seconds, load up that text toy, and we'll be right back here on the Outdoor Line. 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line. That's Joey Pyburn, president of the brand new Lake Cassidy Crappie Hammer Fan Club right there. Rob Ensley coming at us from an unusually sunny southeast Alaska. And Craig, I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning, and go out and get some gamakatsus because the fish of a lifetime comes only once in a lifetime. Let's run down a few of these texts. There was a guy that was even before the show started, popped up real quick. Is there any word on razor clamming Twin Harbors and also any news for the Willapa Bay salmon run this year? Thank you guys. Right now we're still waiting on the domoic acid results. Okay. And those clams are filter feeders. They got to kind of depurate or get that toxin out of their system. So we are still waiting for clarity with regard to razor clams. On the Grays Harbor deal, that's an interesting topic, and Mark Uwas is going to touch on that too. The whole Grays Harbor situation really delayed a lot of the PFMC actions and took it, you know, really, really late into the night. But we do have clarity on what's going on. Instead of stealing Mark Uwas's thunder, who's joining us next, I would just direct you to go hit the Outdoor Line and hit on Mark's blog. Mark went through the regulations exhaustively, everything, all the numbers, all the quotas, the whole thing, right there on the outdoorline.com/blogs. How do you, Joey Pyburn, how do you go pee-pee when using a kayak? That from the very classy 360. How does that happen? I think you got a little bilge pump you got there? How does that work?
I think you paddle yourself to shore and probably find a place to go on shore. Okay. On Brad's, you can actually stand up on that thing. So you just stand up and let her fly.
Also, we got a question.
I wasn't going to read that question, Tom. I was just going to skip over that one. But thank you for getting to that one. So
well, that. we you know, we rarely get to address, you know, sanitary facilities on a Hobie kayak. I mean, it's just never really come up before.
We got a question from the 240. What's available for bank salmon steelhead fishing? Is it just the callus? Pretty much right now. And the callus is kind of winding down. There's still some steelhead up in there, but it's kind of winding down. On the steelhead front, but there is still some bank opportunity in there. Probably, you know, either around Blue Creek or up around Barrier Dam is where I'd head. So,
from the 360, hey Tom, that new bilge pump you put in the Sea Beast, how does a pickup mount? That's a good question. So, if you go to the Outdoor Lines YouTube channel, which you know we're trying to do a little better job of populating that, and you know we're popping videos up. So on a larger cabin boat, sometimes you get water that collects forward, and a little centrifugal impeller or standard submersible bilge pumps can't get it all. Mm-hmm. I put a diaphragm pump in there, and you just take it. You just take a piece of bilge hose and you stick it down on the deepest part of the bilge. And the easiest thing to do is find some wiring nearby and just zip tie that thing right down to the floor of your boat. But since it's a suction pump, you don't want that thing to suck to the bottom of it. So you got to cut just a little tiny angle in the hose. If you jump on that video, you just zip tie that thing in the lowest part of your bilge. And the reason you want to do that is, well, we use that for storage. There's, you know, Duckworth has an underfloor rod holder storage, so pretty cool deal. So I tell you what, Robbo, we're close to the second break. Let's go early into a break here.
Yeah.
So then we can get Mark, because this is going to be a long segment coming up. You guys want to stay tuned for this, because you know Mark is one of the Puget Sound Wreckfish Salmon Advisors, the same panel I sit on, and you know, as a former journalist, he's assiduously detailed with regard to his notes. So you know, having Mark is a wonderful resource for you, for readers of the page and everything else. Mark Uwasa joining us next for a complete rundown of North of Falcon here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
So I was just texting back and forth with Bob Buchanan of BOMAC, and we may have an announcement later this week on razor clamming, okay? And, you know, if you need some shellfish, you know, get on up to the shrimp shack. What a wonderful day it would be to drive up the Deception Pass and do a little bit of that while you read Mark Uwasa's magnificent blog on theoutdoorline.com detailing the 2021 and 22 salmon regulation package, here to walk us through all this myriad and wide-reaching information, none other than the Outdoor Line's blogger extraordinaire, Mark Uwasa. Good morning, Mark, and welcome to the show.
Morning, sir. Mark.
Good. Hey.
We just had a question about Willapa Bay, but let's just run through this, maybe starting off the coast and run up around the corner into Puget Sound. You want to start out on the coast first, maybe start in the bays and work our way around the corner, Mark?
Yeah, that sounds really good. So, you know, first off, you know, I think that the coast is going to, you know, see some really good summer fishing here, especially in the Owakal area. You know, and there were some difficult, you know, measures that they had to take related to the Queets Wild Coho as well as Grace Harbor. And so despite that, though, I mean, you know, people should be pretty excited about the estimated about 1.7 million coho that are headed back down towards, you know, the Columbia River and down south of there. When I talked to Wendy Beagley late Thursday, you know, it was kind of funny how she summarized it, you know, that she kind of identifies this year's run with what we saw back in 2009. I know you got to dig deep back into your memory hole to kind of figure out what happened in 2009, but you know, we had a run of about 1.2 million coho back then. And you know, if folks remember, it was pretty hot fishing, and you know, where you can go out and you can get a limited coho in minutes off El Waco. And so and those seasons are going to start here on June 19th, you know, and that'll start off with the Chinook only fishery. And then we'll start diving into some mixed, you know, Chinook and hatchery coho fishing off Westport and El Waco on June 27th. And then a little later up there at Nia Bay and La Push on July 4th.
And if you look at that coho quota compared to last year, I mean, we, you know, we, the El Waco coho bite right off the bat last year was smoking, and they ground through that quota. If you look at the quota we were working with last year of only 11,200 last year, and you look at what we got this year, we got over 40,000 coho to work through in Ilwaco, and an additional, you know, 1,500, you know, Chinook to boot. So that's a quota that's gonna last a while. And when you talk about that, and it's hard not to recognize the fact that we can go fishing at Buoy 10 on August 1st too. It's going to be selective until the 10th, but all in all, I mean, that adds up to a wonderful opportunity package right in and around the mouth of Columbia River, Mark Uwasa.
Oh yeah, and you know, I'll say the salmon train this year, especially in the Columbia. I mean, like you had mentioned, August 1st, you know, that fishery is going to stretch from there all the way up and through October, up into the Hanford Reach area to provide some pretty, you know, some pretty exciting fishing for folks to take advantage of. And it's one of those fisheries too where I just get excited about, and you know, down in September and like you said, in August down at Buoy 10, there's no doubt that, you know, we're going to see some pretty darn good fishing, and that's, you know, pretty exciting for anglers.
What about the two big bays north of there, Mark, Willapaw and Grace Harbor? What do you see in there, buddy?
Well, so WDFW, you know, I mean, it's going to be the normal routine for Willapaw. You know, it'll open up in August. We should see some fairly good king fishing. You know, I think the run's just a tad down from last year. But Grace Harbor was something that was a little difficult to carve through. I mean, it looks like at this point, they haven't come out with the specific rules for it yet. But from what I heard is that, you know, it's gonna be the no Chinook fishery again for this year. If you're talking North Bay, you know, and some of those areas within the harbor itself, and so we kind of got to stay tuned on that one.
And then getting up around the corner into the Strait of Juan de Fuca, CQ. And then on down into Puget Sound. Run us through what's happening up that way, buddy.
Yeah, so, you know, kind of status quo that last year, we will see some, you know, one thing that I did want to point out to anglers, especially about the ocean thing, you know, at this point, from what we've been hearing, and when I talked to Wendy about this, I wanted to make sure, folks need to be aware that, you know, the McCaw Tribal Reservation lands are still closed through June 30th, and LaPush right now is closed until mid-May, and it's likely, from what we've been hearing, is that, you know, and I think we talked about this the last time I was on the line, is that, you know, those ports are still going to be closed. So, you know, this is one of those things, just like last year, guys are going to have to access those fishing grounds via CQ or you know, Westport to get to LaPush, which is a pretty darn long haul. But,
yeah.
You know, getting back to what you were talking about for CQ, I mean, boy, when that door opens there on July 1, I'd be pretty psyched to be up there and getting in on some of those kings this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Mark. It's going to be, the whole thing's going to be exciting. And once you reach Nia Bay, however you're getting there, you're going to be greeted with a coho quota that's twice what it was last year. And again, another additional 1,100 Chinook out there. So, you know, we had a pretty short-lived opportunity because we ground through a really restrictive coho quota. Again, and this is going to be the story in all four of our ocean areas, is we have more coho to work with to access that Chinook quota, which we've never achieved. And well, I wouldn't say never, but in recent memory, in the last 4 or 5 years, Mark, we as a sport fleet have not been able to reach our Chinook quota because of coho closures.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, here again, you know, it's one of those things too, where people need to be aware, and you're talking coast wide here. I mean, that, you know, Wendy had also said that what worries her, and she's prone to worrying, she says, well, she said it with a laugh, but, you know, with what we've been seeing as far as angler pressure, you know, this past year, and we're expecting kind of the same thing again this year, is, you know, I would think about getting out there sooner when it opens than later.
Oh,
now, what
100%.
About Puget Sound, Mark?
Call.
Let's dive into Puget Sound and crank through some of the marine areas of Puget Sound. What are you saying there, buddy, as far as Chinook opportunity? And then followed up with some coho and pink salmon stuff. But let's look at the Chinook stuff first, because I think that's probably the most complicated part of Puget Sound moving forward here. What are we looking at for this summer, buddy?
Yeah, well, you know, for me, when I, you know, when we were going through this whole process, you know, both Tom and I were both on that sport advisory board. The one thing that really stood out to me early on was, you know, when they were talking about Area 11 opening early again, you know, getting that June season back into the mix. And man, I mean, folks, if you know of June down into the Tacoma area for some early Kings, you know, it started stirring memories back into my head about, you know, being able to fish down there off the clay banks. And you know, we didn't get the whole June package. You know, it's going to start, it's right here on June 16th. You know, so you get a 2-week jump start on that Chinook fishery down there. I'd really, you know, start looking at, you know, hitting that spot right away when it opens. I mean, it could be a pretty darn fun fishery for folks down there. And, you know, I mean, the rest of the seasons, you know, Area 10 too, you know, we have that early resident coho fishery there. And kind of the same thing. We kind of lost 2 weeks this year. So there was a lot of this give and take this year inside Puget Sound. You know, the rest of the seasons are all going to be, you know, your typical, you know, for Area 9 and Area 10 for Kings, it's going to be the same starts as last year is what we're going to be seeing, you know, your typical June 16th starts. So, or July 16th, excuse me.
July 16th, yeah.
Get that straight. And July 16th.
And so we took a hit in Area 9. We had a quota. We were coming into the North Falcon thinking we were going to get something around a 6,000 Chinook quota, which, you know, I could see that possibly making it, you know, into August. I didn't think it was going to make it all the way there. But then again, I mean, last year we had Puget Sound absolutely carpeted with those little tiny herring. Plus, we didn't get the numbers of hatchery fish, particularly coming into Hood Canal. And make no mistake, those Hood Canal Chinook drive that Port Townsend mid-channel bank fishery to no small extent. But we ended up with a 4,700 quota in Area 9, and we ended up with 3,700 in Area 10. So we've got some decent Chinook opportunity. And if you want to talk just about 9 and 10 just for a second here, Mark, when it does close down, if we do achieve those Chinook numbers, it's going to remain open for pinks. And those pinks, you know, we're looking at 3 million pinks, so we're going to see more days on the water, and we got a selective opportunity back in Area 9 for coho as well. So we got more days on the water this year.
Well, all the new folks out there on the water, you couldn't ask for a better opportunity with all those pinks, right?
100%.
For
no
sure.
Question.
Yeah. What about the San Juan Islands, Mark, before we jump off into the pink and coho program here? What are you seeing up in the San Juans and Eastern Strait there for Chinook ops, man?
Yeah, so, you know, the San Juan Islands, it's, you know, the this year's quota, it starts off on July 1st for Kings, for Hatchery Kings. You know, the quota is up slightly there, too. I think it's in the neighborhood of, like, 1,382 compared to 1,300 last year. So, you know, you get a few more Chinook in the game up there. So, you know, and that's always a good place to be in that July time frame. So, you know, anglers should start hitting that up. And, of course, you know, you've got a season that, you know, it's continuous, which is nice. So it'll, you know, go wrap right into a coho fishery from there and a pink fishery. And then also Bellingham Bay, you know, typical start for August 16th, you know, 4 salmon daily limit with up to 2 can be kings. So, you know, that the islands, you know, here again, I know it's a very contentious situation for them because they used to run, you know, a season just a few years ago that was open pretty much, you know, unrestricted almost, you know, so to speak. You know, I know it closed and opened at certain times, even during that time frame, but, you know, it's a whole different ballgame this year.
Okay, and then the bright spot in Puget Sound is the pink forecast and the coho forecast, yeah, for that matter. Run us through that really quick, buddy, because I know we have a lot of people sitting on the edge of their seats right now wondering what's going to happen there.
Well, I think the highlight to that whole thing is, you know, last year, you know, we had a closure on that east side of Whidbey Island. Most folks know it as areas A1 and A2. You know, it was shut down completely. And so, you know, this year with opportunities for, like you guys had just mentioned, you know, these millions of pink salmon, you know, Area A1's open right on August 1st. you know, and that's all coho, not just hatchery, but all coho and pinks only. And then you get that southern portion of Area A2 from, you know, Mukilteo, Clinton down to the Area 9 boundary line, which opens up on August 14th for hatchery, coho, and pinks. So, you know, to get that back in the ballgame was something that, you know, the advisory group and a lot of the constituents worked hard to make sure that we see that season. And also, too, that there is a new fishing pier at the Mukilteo area, which I'm pretty sure I heard and I'm pretty confident it's back in the game. So, you know, for dock anglers during this pink fishery, there's a lot of piers and stuff. You know, shorebound anglers can target these fish. So I think that, you know, is something that, you know, like we're saying, it's saving grace almost for salmon anglers this year.
Mark Uwasa joining us this morning here on the Outdoor Line, walking us through the seasons. Check out his blog on theoutdoorline.com. He runs through all this stuff. And early on in the blog, Mark, you kind of discuss the backdrop to North of Falcon, and it's, you know, no secret to anybody that's a frequent listener of the show that the driver this year was still a Guamish Chinook and has been for a while. Ever since we started managing these Chinook on clipped fish impacts coming into the still Guamish River, it's had, you know, a heavy effect on Marine Area 7. I mean, we used to get a really good winter season in Marine Area 7, and because of the stilly impacts, we're not. Now, I honestly feel this is a temporary situation. We're seeing an all-hands-on-deck response to getting more spawning fish, getting more hatchery fish up into the stilly drainage. But right now, we need to deal with this issue. We're talking about a river here in the Puget Sound Basin that has a forecast of barely 300 wild fish. And so once we get the stilly back on its feet, and hey, you know, I've spent some time talking to Sean Yannity about this situation, and you know, a lot of people want to throw a lot of rocks and whatnot. Look, it's a conservation issue. It's not anybody's, you know, directed effort to put a pinch on all these fisheries as much as it is just getting this back on its feet. But we're not going to have a winter opportunity in 7. That hurts. We're not going to have a winter opportunity in 9. That hurts as well. We are going to have a 3-month opportunity in Area 10. And again, so January, February, and March, right, Mark? And yeah, January 31st through March. And we'll get CQ back for all of March and all of April. So a little more blackmouth opportunity than we had the year before. And I'll let you react to that, buddy.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other opportunity there that we're looking at, too, is South Central Puget Sound again, you know, Area 11. You're going to get November and December in there for winter Chinook, something that we didn't see last year as well. So, you know, like you had said, you know, these, you know, hopefully we can, from here, begin to rebuild and gain more of that winter opportunity again in many other places as well, because, you know, I love going out, and I know everybody else, you know, loves that winter fishery. And so hopefully we can push to continue to see those salmon recoveries, especially like you had said, up in the Stilla Guamish area, you know, and like you had said, you know, they're working hard to make sure that, you know, we rebuild those stocks of concerns and move forward with some better opportunities here down the pipeline.
Hey, Mark, really, really quick before we got to let you go here, we're getting a lot of texts about Baker Lake and also Brewster sockeye over on the east side. Can you burn through those pretty quick here?
Yeah. So, you know, Baker Lake, unfortunately, it's right now set to stay closed, but they're going to monitor that run and should, you know, things start, we start seeing some good numbers coming back this summer to the Skagit, they could always implement, you know, opening it. And so it's one of those stay tuned things. And then let's watch the, you know, how many fish come back to the fish trap up there. And hopefully, you know, we'll see enough that they can open it. But that number is down this year. And so, you know, they got to make sure that things get back. But Brewster's
good.
You know, So it's going to be one of these situations like last year. You know, we've got a number which that's down.
No.
They set a very conservative forecast for that area, but look what happened last year, right? I mean, we ended up seeing just a boom and run of sockeye coming up the dams. And, so it's one of those things again, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, we get a strong run back up there and be able to see what we saw last summer in that sockeye fishery. I mean, that was just something else. I was up there one time with Austin and man, I mean, they talk about, you know, right, you put your lines down and boom, and it's just like nonstop action for like 5 hours straight.
Awesome.
So, you know, with some little lulls, but, you know, and so hopefully we can relive those scenarios again this summer.
He's Mark Uwasa. Check out his blog on theoutdoorline.com. Also, give him a follow on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, at Mark Uwasa. Thank you very much for your time. Thanks for all your hard work. We appreciate it. Great information. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for the time, buddy.
Thanks. You guys, too. Have a good one.
All right, you betcha. Coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week here for middle of April. We got some stuff coming your way next during the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Welcome to Raymarine Picks of the Week. You log on to raymarine.com. There you're going to find the all-new Axiom Plus. It's smarter, brighter, and tougher than ever. And it's one thing to have a piece of gear. It's another to know how to use it. Every Thursday at 6 o'clock, check out Raymarine Live. This last week was Fish Finder and Sonar Basics. It's available on Raymarine's YouTube channel. Jim McGowan is a product expert and will walk you through everything you need to get everything out of your Raymarine sonar. Rob Ensley, Picks of the Week.
I tell you what, Mark Uwasa got the text toy lit up. A lot of questions on the text toy about the salmon fisheries coming up here this summer. Jump on theoutdoorline.com, go to the blog section and check out Mark Uwasa's blog. He goes marine area by marine area and runs through all the seasons here. So jump on there. There's a lot of information and too much for us to cover here in Picks of the Week, but jump on there and it's all right there. Tell you what, I think top of mind here this week is a halibut opener. On April 22nd. I know a lot of folks getting geared up for that. And you guys have some pretty stellar weather this week down there, don't you? In the Eastern Strait there.
Yeah.
Going to be an epic week to get out there. What is it? I think it's Thursday through Saturday, April 22nd through May 22nd, so 3 days a week. And then the Western Strait opens up a little bit later in early May, but you get an early crack at these halibut. So that's definitely top of mind here for me this week. Of course, we've got trout and bass and kokanee, turkey opener, all kinds of stuff going on here, you know, on the mainland. But if you want to get out on the salt and catch some just great eating fish, there is nothing like fresh halibut, right? And I tell you what, one of the best ways, I was thinking about how we cook halibut, and I've got some great recipes, but I tell you what, I don't think I've ever eaten halibut like Nellie's cooks halibut. That recipe of yours, Nellie, is absolutely completely ridiculous.
Kevin John of Holiday Sports calls it manaroni.
Oh my gosh. Run through that really quick, I don't know.
I'll post this up, but it's just ridiculous, and it's so easy. So you take your halibut, you cube it up, right? And I like using, you know, one of those 9x13 casserole pans or whatever. Like I'm bringing a couple out. Yep. You know, these are the last little halibut I have in the freezer. It's going out there. If you like sun-dried tomatoes and olive oil, you line the bottom of the pan with just enough of those just so you got olive oil over the whole thing. Then you lay your cubed halibut on top of it so it covers the pan. Salt and pepper, here's the secret. And Kevin Gogan taught me this one. Johnny's garlic bread seasoning on top of the halibut with the salt and pepper. And Bruce Larson will have you put a little fennel pollen on there too. But so your salt, pepper, Johnny's garlic bread seasoning, then just a little bit of mayo on top to kind of smooth it, and then a cheese mix. Okay. Oh, let me back up. The mayo on top, you lace it with sriracha. Okay. Yeah. The sriracha is absolutely key in the mayo. Then a little cheese on top. Then you take those red pepper flakes and put it on top of the cheese, and then capers. 45 minutes.
Oh, I'm telling you, Joe. Have you had this yet, Joe?
It will drop you.
Oh, yeah. I've had it a couple.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I sent them over
the phone. It's the damnest thing I've ever eaten.
It is.
We had it on
RL Cunt. It's seriously one of the top meals ever.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Everybody who eats it's just like, what is this?
Yeah, and you can't stop eating it.
Then he takes the leftovers, if there is any, because there usually isn't any leftovers. But then he takes the leftovers, mashes them up into some other gizmo thing, and puts them on bread
dip.
And bakes it in the oven and makes love loaf. This thing called the love loaf out of it. Part of being a firefighter, there's not a whole lot of firefighting going on. There's a whole bunch of cooking, smoking salmon, and deep fried turkeys, and trust me, I know
it's
what
like,
goes on down there.
It's
now.
Like seven. It's like 70% cooking, maybe 30% firefighting.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, those guys in the SFD, I'll tell you right now, those guys in the Seattle Fire Department and all the firefighters across West Washington are heroes every single day. Okay?
Oh, and I'm not. I didn't say they weren't.
Day.
I did. They're all really.
Now we're going
amazing.
There.
Oh, they're also amazing
there. Of course
chefs.
They are, Nelly. Oh, of course. Oh man.
There's only a few of them that were overweight like me and ate a lot, so and cooked. That's all. So, all right, getting the railroad back on the tracks here. Yeah, the halibut opener is going to be huge. But also, you know, we're looking at a potential for a razor clam season. Look for an announcement from that. And that's according to our dear friend Bob Buchanan. Okay, we may get something there. But then it's still it's time. I mean, May 1st is fast approaching, folks. And that's going to bring our ling opener here in Puget Sound. Okay. And also
we have our trout opener coming on the 24th.
We haven't even talked about that. Yeah.
This and look, these lakes,
next Saturday is Lowland Lakes opener.
And then also the kokanee thing is heating up, man. Yeah. The lakes. I was out on the lake the other day. I think when we got on the water, it was 50 degrees. By the time we got off, it was 55. And then these nighttime temps in the 40s are going to keep those lakes from cooling down. And I know a bunch of guys who are out on Lake Stevens right now, and the kokanee bite actually kicked in pretty good last night. So I'll be getting some reports here from some guys out there. But kokanee fishing is going to be great. We got all our lowland lakes opening on the 24th. There's just a ton of stuff to do, you know. And then, obviously, we have our blackmouth season in Area 5 running through the end of the month.
And then
Springer opener.
Let's talk halibut here a little bit, Joe. And fish and bait. I mean, if you're going to fish a horse herring, are you going to run a couple of J-hooks with that? Are you going to run, you know, what pound line? I mean, if you're anchored up out there this week, 100, 150 feet of water, what are you going to run with that herring to make it work?
Well, yeah, a couple J-hooks. I build my own leaders. So this time of the year, right now, I don't think we're going to have to worry about a lot of dogfish out there yet. So you could run your, 100-pound mono. Once the dogfish are in, you probably want to switch to steel leaders. But I like to run those big herring with the big squid just in case just in case your herring gets plucked off there. That squid's going to stay on and you're going to continue to fish. But also, I haven't done it, but I would do it this year. I would start injecting those herring with oil, some type of oil, just to get a better
herring
scent line
oil.
Going.
Just
I think,
load them up with herring oil.
I think that's the key is you got to have bait down there that's just kicking off some scent to get those halibut to bite.
And that's the advantage of the electric reel. You can zip those baits up, turn and burn them. Harbor Marine just got 2 dozen of them in. I know there's some down Sportco too, but dude, I'm telling you, efficiency is the key.
Well, and that's the other thing. Don't let that bait sit down there for an hour.
No, you gotta check it.
Look, run it down there, fish it for 20 minutes,
tops.
25 minutes, get it up, and have another bait already rigged up on another leader. Unsnap, snap another one on, boom, get it right back down there. Those fish will be sitting on that scent line. So don't think that when you reel up, you're like, okay, well, it's now I got to fish another 25 minutes. You might drop it back down, a fresh bait, boom, grab it.
I've seen that over and over and over where you get a pluck on a bait down there, then somebody won't touch it again. And you reel that thing up, you send it back down, it gets bit immediately. But that's the turn and burn program. Also, if you are not on anchor in the Straits of Juan de Fuca, please do not use circle hooks. J-hooks on the drift.
Yeah, it's a J-hook program. J-hook. You're not going to get enough bite to make the circle hook program work. Real quick, we just got a text from our friend Michael May at Mike's Custom Archery. Just encouraging folks to get out and get their equipment for the archery season next fall. With the supply chain issues and the extreme demand right now, get out and get whatever it is you need. I don't care what it is. Also, the Sportco Spring Anniversary Sale is going on right now. They have a ton of stuff. They've got sale items happening right now. If you jump on sportco.com, they also are saying the same thing. If you need something, get it right now and get three of them. because it may not be available come fall or summer or whenever this season comes upon us here. So jump on that stuff right now. And the spring anniversary sale at Outdoor Emporium and Sportco is a great time to get in there and get these a lot of these items at sale prices. They have a ton of stuff going on right now. So check it out. You can jump online, sportco.com, or just head into the store and get what you need.
Jam-packed hour two. Russ Baker, Limit Out Marine, live from the Potholes Bass Club's Potholes Open. The Northwest Outdoor Report presented by American Pacific Mortgage. Wellcraft Wheelhouse. Kevin John, Holiday Sports, going to run us through that halibut opener on the 22nd. Roy Robbins is really wearing a whole lot more. Be right back at you here with a packed hour two here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.